Tiffany Tompkins is the chief executive at Organics Aotearoa New Zealand, OANZ. We chatted to Tiffany at the beginning of December 2024. Now she's back to talk about the gene technology bill, which had its first reading in Parliament, of course, 17th of December. That was after we chatted last time with Tiffany. And a lot has been said in that time. There have been webinars. There have been all sorts of posts on social media. Totally, from what I've seen anyway, negative towards the bill. Anyway, Tiffany, Happy New Year. I know that's a bit down, a few weeks down the track from when people normally say that, but I think that's appropriate. I hope you had a good break, and I'm sure you're pretty busy right now on this, right?
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me back again. I really appreciate it. Happy New Year to you as well.
Thank you.
My Christmas holiday, you know, the bill was read in late December, right before Christmas. And after the first reading, the Health Select Committee, which is where the Select Committee process will be held, through that committee, they had a sneaky little meeting the day after the bill was read, and they turned on the submission process, which means a lot of us shortened our vacations, our holidays, in order to start working on the bill, reading it, scrutinizing it, making sure we understand what we need to say in terms of submissions, and to be able to get the word out in time to meet that submission deadline by the 17th of February. The government has had lots of comment back to them about the timing of this, which is unfortunate. A lot of us like to, you know, spend our summers, you know, with our kids and doing fun things. But yeah, no, we all came back to work, and I'm sure every industry body is facing the same thing throughout the primary production. I know that Dairy NZ and Fonterra and Beef and Lamb, others asked the government if they would extend this submission time, and they came back to everyone saying no. So it's a hard get in your submissions by the 17th of February.
I picked up the word sneaky. You said sneaky. Do you think there's something in that timing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're on a mission to do things pretty quickly. So they wanted to get the submission ball rolling as soon as possible. The submission process may take up to 6 months. That's usually the time frame for a full submission process. I mean, sorry, for a full select committee process. But yeah, I think they just wanted to get the ball rolling as fast as possible. You know, we keep hearing that this is sort of a done deal behind closed doors, and we're saying absolutely not. There's a lot that needs to be amended. There's a lot that needs to happen in this bill. And we need to make sure everybody knows what those changes need to be. And we need everybody to submit on it.
I want to get into some of the detail, obviously, in our chat here, but I'm curious to get your response or answer this question. What do you think the motivation is for pushing so hard on this gene technology bill when we know that there's really no success stories that can be pointed to, either in the medical or food field? Many other countries in the world take even a more cautious approach. Maybe not the United States so much, but that could change now with RFK there. There seems to be, you know, hard driving going on. Where do you think that's coming from, and why?
I think it's, to be honest, I think it's about getting quick cash in the door to make the economy, you know, have a bump. So that's...
so political.
Can get reelected. This is a cycle to be pushing things through at so quickly to get them into play, to see that bump will hit that next election cycle. That's my theory on this. But I think they're looking to deregulate and create minimal investment risks, sort of selling out in a way to gain quick foreign investment.
So you can come to New Zealand because you can't go anywhere else, basically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll
so
be
that's
the,
a race.
We'll be the
isn't that
top
a race
dumping
to the
ground.
Bottom? It's a race to the bottom.
Absolutely.
By any
Absolutely.
Definition that is, right?
It's very short-term focused. This bill was written in such haste. When you read it, you can tell that it was written really, really quickly. There's so many issues with it. I think constitutional lawyers will even have a day reading this over and going, oh my goodness, what are they thinking? Everything is really rushed. We've been seeing that quite a bit through this whole process because we haven't had the level of public consultation that would normally be taking place for, especially for farmers to get involved and have a say in what's going to happen on their farms and with their market access and with their markets that they're selling into. Yeah, I mean, we should have had farmers part of this the whole time. And consumers need to know what's happening in their food system. And if there's a transparency, a level of transparency, that brings more of a democratic process, but also lots more fresh ideas and abilities to have win-win scenarios. So the rushing of this to me just seems, oh, we got to have a quick fix. We want to get this bump in biotech. And yeah, unfortunately, it only serves a few people.
Should we be doing anything in this area at all? I know that's sort of like a back to the egg sort of question, but we're talking about labeling, we're talking about all sorts of things related downstream to anything that's attached to this, our market perception, the hit that we could take, which came out in the New Zealand Institute of Economic Research report you had done, and
Yeah.
our audience will be familiar with those points. So I don't need to drag through them all. But it makes you wonder if we even need to be going here at all before we think of all those things.
Well, I think the conversation is good to have. Having a national conversations about these big topics is really important. It's part of our democracies. It's part of understanding what the needs are of the scientific needs versus the commercial realities. Those are really great things to talk about. But not allowing to having those types of discussions and then going through with a bill that just really pays service to a very small percentage of the scientific community in itself, with by selling out the rest of what is potentially good for public interest, you shouldn't be doing that. That is absolutely, that's no way to have a democracy.
Let's just break it down to the risks and impacts.
Okay.
Because we've heard the happy talk on the supposed benefits. Okay. When it comes to the environment.
When it comes to the environment, the biggest point that this bill does, this is for everyone. This is not just if you're organic or not just non-GMO. This is everybody. The fact that the government wants to deregulate GMOs, so what they call low-risk gene technologies and GMOs, a regulator decides this person will have the power to decide what is low risk over anyone else in government. And we're giving this regulator a lot of power to determine this. Well, depending on how that regulator sits and whether or not they're quite radical and they want to see lots of GMOs in the environment or very little, they get the power to do that. So that means that what is seemed as low risk to one person will not be regulated in the environment, where that low risk for organics means it's very high risk because we can't even have those unregulated GMOs and gene tech technologies in our production system or in our supply chain. So you're at home, your neighbor's really into gene technology and likes to tinker with RNA and all kinds of things. They create perhaps through deregulated, which means they don't have to sign up for a license. They don't even have to tell you what they're buying online. They don't have to tell the government what they're doing. They're saying, oh, this is just a little bit of GE. And they're tinkering at home in the garage, and they're making things, and they're going, ah, well, this isn't working. And they're experimenting on their cat, or they're throwing out into the environment. There's no way to trace what that person is doing. There's no records or anything. So if there are microscopic changes, or if there's plant and animal changes that we aren't able to understand how those changes came about, they're going to be really hard to fix, really hard to understand in terms of what they are doing to our natural environment. And it makes us, the whole country, basically an open testing ground for gene technology. We are an open lab at this point, and
And
that the biggest risk.
as I understand it, any sort of escape is more seen as an act of God than the person tinkering in the garage screwing
You
up.
don't even need, there's no containment, right? So you don't even need containment. You can literally turn your garage into your own personal laboratory there is no containment for this technology. So, people can have fun. They can experiment on your cat. It doesn't matter. There will be no rules.
Wow. Before we get into economic and trade, I want to play this clip, which is Judith Collins on the 17th of December, first reading of the bill. Take a listen to this.
Our current regulations for genetically modified organisms are some of the most backward-looking in the world. New Zealand has lagged behind other countries such as Australia, Canada, England, which have safely embraced these technologies.
Okay, there's Judith, who, by the way, now is not in the role of science minister. That came to an end not too long after she spoke with us. I don't know if there's a causal connection there, but she's pushing safe and lagging behind. Safe, she can't claim safe, can she?
No, it's interesting because they have a tiered system where there's going to be low risk and then there's going to be higher risk. So the high risk changes will be contained. The low risk won't be. Of course, that'll be up to the regulator to determine what is low risk. I'm sure there'll be no issues there with anybody being planted into that role from the biotech industry.
Well,
We've
can I just break in again? We've seen that already. Look what happened during COVID. That was a genetic modified product, a gene serum, it is commonly referred to. It's been a disaster. You couldn't ask for a more stark example of what could go wrong.
Well, and continuing that in animal health, this bill allows the government to come and be able to utilize gene technology in animals for emergency situations whenever they choose to. The problem with this bill too is that there's just no accountability for GE. So whether or not you're manufacturing, you're putting it out into the environment as an individual because it's deregulated, you can have a play and have fun, which makes us a real wild card compared to the rest of the world. We're removing so much safety from low risk or whatever that means, that we're becoming an outlier in what this means. We will create a new global standard for irresponsible gene technology. And yeah, that's not a no one should think that that's okay.
So we have an example of that already, and it wasn't brilliant. It was way less than brilliant. Okay, and she said we're missing out, which implies, we're taking hits on trade. What are we really missing out on, or is that all just, crystal ball gazing? It seems to me that it is.
Yeah, I don't know what she's really mean. I mean, in missing out our primary production, we trade on non-GMO. We're quite successful as keeping that something that's really a differentiator for New Zealand as a small economy and as small producers in a very global marketplace. To have that higher level premium differential is really important. GMOs around the world are associated with lower level pricing, they're more commodity basis. There's no real premium pricing. I have yet to see anything on the market that says, yes, this GE has produced a premium price. So we have are risking our farmers' ability to trade overseas on the GE-free promise. And those that want to retain GE-free or organics or others that, we can't have GE in our supply chain. It's going to be really, really costly for those producers to be able to prove that they don't have GE when it's so widespread and unregulated.
Yeah, I mean, you can prove all you like, but if you get cast in a certain light, the psychology will, you won't even get to have they tested it? Are they labeling it? You will just, human nature suggests you just ignore it, you pass it by, you look for something that doesn't give you those feelings.
Part of me thinks of tourists, right? So if I was a tourist coming to New Zealand and people come here because it is so beautiful, right? The people are amazing, the country is beautiful, it's very exotic, it's far away, it's like this island paradise that as an American, this is the way we think about New Zealand. We find it much more colder than we actually expect to, which is kind of
Yeah.
funny. But we come here thinking that New Zealand is a particular way. So let's, I don't want to consume GMOs. I am very staunch in, in what I eat and what I give my kids. So I come here knowing that GE could be out throughout the environment and through my food supply. So what I eat at cafes and restaurants could potentially be contaminated with GMOs. I'm going to have a second thought about coming to visit New Zealand.
Or consuming New Zealand branded products and paying a premium.
I will not pay a premium for products that could potentially be contaminated from countries that don't regulate sufficiently.
The National Party is traditionally supported by farmers. You mentioned farmers before. Do we have any way to gauge what the average Kiwi farmer is making of this? Because there's a political hit potentially for the National Party, particularly if there's a perception amongst that part of the voting base that this is not good for business. They're not going to support it. Do we know any way of knowing what they're thinking in
Well,
numbers?
we know that there's a high percentage of farmers that want to understand and engage on this topic. They want to understand what is gene technology? What does it mean for me? What does it mean for New Zealand? There's been a lack of education to help farmers understand the issue, to be able to have the discussions and be able to make the decisions that, hey, what's best for me? If this legislation goes through, they are going to have to make that decision. Am I going to be a GMO, producer or not? Or if the bill passes as is, I don't see how anybody will be able to not be a GMO farmer if the deregulation of GMO products, the level that they are talking about, comes to fruition. There'll be such widespread contamination, even though we don't call it GMOs in New Zealand, or the New Zealand government has changed the definitions of what GMOs and gene
Well,
tech
that
is.
the definition of vaccine, see how it tracks the
Yeah.
same
So
thing.
therefore, it won't be GE to us because our legislation says differently, but it will be to other people in other countries.
I could
So how
legislate that
we're
it's
seen by the outside will be significant.
I could legislate that the sky is orange.
Yes, you could.
Yeah, and then I'd be accurate legally in
Well, I think
saying
it'd be in the court system forever. But
it. Yeah.
that's also where we really don't want things to end up either. We want to make sure we have a tight legislation that, doesn't leave everyone fighting this out with the Monsanto, slash Bayers of the world. We want to make sure that Kiwi farmers are able to be taken care of, and there's accountability for those that pollute, and those that contaminate, and make sure that those that don't want to be GMO farmers or want to hit that non-GMO space, they have the ability to do that. And right now, this bill does not give them the ability.
Regarding consumers, a lack of traceability is a tell, isn't it? That's a big tell where you can't trace.
No, it's hideous.
I mean, there's only
It
one reason
affects your
that could
supply
be there,
chain. Your whole
right?
supply chain is infected by not being able to trace that. So what the problem is this bill really focuses on a little bit of risk, but it does not talk about the harm that can be caused by gene technology. And what do we do in case that harm is found? What do we do if something goes awry and there is really nothing to safeguard anybody from any circumstance of anything going wrong? It's almost like, oh, it just won't happen.
And then there's reduced precautionary measures, relaxed standards. That's just a lowering of the bar for obvious reasons, isn't it?
Yeah, that makes it easier to get cash in the door.
Wow. Okay, so not too much time before the 17th of February. What's your gut feeling on the submissions and how they could go for, against?
Yeah, I think the
Any
submissions.
way of gauging that, do you think?
The submissions is one piece of the process, right? We need everybody to submit. We need submissions. If you go to oanz.org, whether or not you're organic or not, it's a great place to go to understand the key issues. There's a whole toolkit there, an activated toolkit. Go and check it out under the GE Free campaign that's on the menu bar on our website. But really, that's the first stage. I mean, we've got to get in and get these submissions in the door saying, here's why we don't like this bill, or why we don't want it, or here are key aspects that I'm very concerned about. And it's really important you say this in your own way. The second thing is you've got to talk to your local MPs, and we have to put the political pressure on MPs to say, this is not what we want. They have been hearing for a really long time by the pro-GE biotech side of things that this is going to be the best thing since sliced bread. They didn't have widespread consultation to really hear from anybody else that this may not be a good idea. So now, absolutely, is the time that we have to say, this is not what we want. These are the things that are extremely important to us. And as a nation, as a neighbor, as someone involved in, your community, it's really important that you get the word out, that you talk to as many people about this as well, because this is our democratic process. And it's, don't take it for granted. We've got to make sure our voices are heard.
And fast-tracking legislation expected by this year, that would speak to the comment you made before about the political driver, because next year is election year.
So to have this entire regime up by the December of this year, that means all regulations, everything already created, and an entire regulator staffed and ready to go. That is an incredible timeline. I have never seen anything like that. And we've been working on the organic products bill for 4 years and are still trying to just get to our regular, standard completed. So this government, and after reducing the size of government, I have no idea how they plan to do it, but they want that uptick before that next election.
Great to talk with you again. I'm sure there'll be a lot more to be talked about in the short time ahead. Tiffany Tompkins, Chief Executive, Organics Aotearoa New Zealand. Thanks for coming back on. Good to see you again.
Thank you so much.